one and all once again to Duoden. This week we continue our look at the fall gaming lineup as we tackle November, December, and the launch of a new hardware. But before we get this, introduce our panel. We have Martin.
Hi.
And we have Jason.
Hello.
So, like I said, we're going to focus mostly on November and December of this year, but before we actually get started, there was an announcement of Zone of Enders HD Collection getting a date in October this week, and Martin wanted to briefly speak on that because he's a huge fan of the developers behind this.
Oh, am I? Well, I am a huge fan of Kojima Productions, if that's what you mean.
Who's doing the port?
High Voltage.
Yeah.
I know Martin hates them, but they're solid. I mean, I'm sure they can handle a port.
Well, you might say it is now, but have you seen the Silent Hill G Collection? I mean, that wasn't High Voltage, but it doesn't look like Konami cares much if it's not Metal Gear Solid.
I was about to say, but even the Metal Gear Solid collection has problems because the game was taken off of Xbox Live due to some... You had problems with it.
Yeah, but that's just with the downloadable version that had this problem.
So wait, it's not the same version as the one on the HD collection?
Yep.
How does that make sense?
I don't know. Anyway, most of the good HD collection has been made by Bluepoint. They did the Metal Gear HD collection, the Shadow of Colossus Ico one, I think the God of War one, so yeah, I don't know what to think. I really love Zone of the Enders, and I want to be as good as Metal Gear, because I would really love to replay those games.
Well, I mean, not to defend them or anything, but I haven't actually played The Conduit. I will say this much for them. At least they're a technically sound company, so I expect that if they're not doing anything original or trying anything original, it should be a fine port.
I hope so, but the thing is, I hope they will as good job as Bluepoint, because I think with the HD collection, they did not just upscale it. It shows, for example, that they at least have redone the HUD elements because they don't look low res as they would if you really would be playing a PSP port. except for the motion comic stuff, but that's a whole other reason they can't just redraw the whole thing again.
Yeah, it's like they got. It's like the God of War collection, where you could see that Sony did all the work on these games, but they didn't go back and like redo the cutscenes, and for good reason. So like that really stood out in comparison because they have redated compared to the game.
Yeah,
and it's one of the reasons I haven't been huge on the HD movement, or the HD re-release movement, I should say.
Mm.
Sony does a decent job with it, but almost everybody else is just like, we'll just up-res this and call it HD and call it a day. I think Prince of Persia was the first offender I started at, and it's been downhill since then.
Yeah, the Ubisoft ones are all terrible. The Prince of Persia one, Splinter Cell one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the ones where they, you know, redo the art assets, like Perfect Dark, Earl, or Halo Anniversary, or, you know. A lot of other ones.
The problem with that is that takes time and effort, which a lot
of
companies
as I said, if they put enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was HD Collections, and I think that's the end of October. Did we miss anything last week?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, going into November, we have our... I don't even want to say usual state, but the only game that's really carrying over this year is the Call of Duty Black Ops, because Assassin's Creed moved to October.
Yeah.
So, are you folks looking forward to Black Ops 2?
No.
Nah.
I mean, I will say, it seems like they're trying a little harder this year.
Yeah.
But, it's still, you know, I'm just so tired of the annual Call of Duties. Like, it's just beating it into the ground. And I know, obviously, there's millions and millions of people who don't feel the same way. But for me personally, I might play it at a friend's house one day or something, but, like, I have no interest in picking it up myself.
Yeah, and I think there's a better alternative for people like us in November.
Yep.
I guess we'll get to that real quickly. But I just wanted to mention, it's kind of weird because I've been checking out the MPD numbers, and I knew it was a trend in general, but it's kind of, because Black Ops is now outselling Modern Warfare 3 as well. Like, it's Modern Warfare 3 has been tracking behind the original Black Ops anyhow, but now it's actually outselling it month to month as well. And I'm kind of curious if that's a good thing for Black Ops 2 or a bad thing for Call of Duty.
Probably a good thing for Black Ops 2, I guess. I'm pretty sure Black Ops 2 will do fine.
I'm sure it's going to do fine as well. I'm just kind of curious if people are kind of getting to the point. You always see people complaining that the last Call of Duty was better. Now you literally see people going back to the last Call of Duty instead of playing the newest one in town.
Yeah, people really started to dislike stuff in Modern Warfare 3 after a while. I know a lot of people hate the maps and how some of the mechanics work, and are really looking forward to Black Ops 2 because Treyarch basically made better maps in the first Black Ops, and it seems like they're, at least for multiplayer, making some smart decisions.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that Modern Warfare 3 had kind of a tumultuous development cycle with all the Infinity Ward people leaving and then all the other Activision studios having to jump on, so...
We knew that, but is that something that...
Well, I think by bringing that up, I'm saying that's inevitably going to affect the product,
the quality
of the product. Like, whether people know why or not, like, maybe they nitpick about the maps or, like, it doesn't feel right or something. But ultimately, I think that's why, you know, Modern Warfare didn't have the same, like, pizzazz as previous Call of Duty releases. Modern Warfare 3.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, Black Ops 2 has the most pre-orders of any Call of Duty ever or something like that, so...
I don't know. They say that every year, so I don't know how believable that is.
It's a really odd benchmark to use. Like, I think Take-Two saying that Borderlands 2 has more pre-orders than any of their games, including GTA. And I doubt Borderlands, as much as I love it, is going to come anywhere close to doing GTA's first month numbers. I don't think any of us doubt that Black Ops 2 will be the best-selling game of the year.
No, probably not.
It will have stiff competition, especially in the realm of first-person shooters, because Halo 4 actually drops this year as well.
Hell yeah, it does.
I take it you're excited for Metroid Prime 4?
What?
Is that what you're calling Halo 4 now?
But, I just remember that was what everybody kind of dubbed it during E3.
My only complaint with Halo 4 is that it comes out a week after Assassin's Creed 3, at least here in the States. I don't know about internationally, but goddammit.
But unlike Assassin's Creed, Halo is a multiplayer game that will have decent eggs. I mean, I personally still play Halo almost every week.
Assassin's Creed is a multiplayer game.
I'm actually
really looking forward to it. Revelations multiplayer was a little bit of a disappointment, but I had a lot of fun with Brotherhoods. And
so you're 50% right now.
Right, but I mean, you know, this is like the Assassin's Creed A team, which, granted, I don't think they've done the multiplayer because they have been working on this since AC2, but still. Yes, I will play Assassin's Creed 3 multiplayer.
But Halo has been a staple of the online multiplayer genre for almost a decade now. And yes, people have problems with each and every one of them. 3 changed stuff they didn't like, Reach changed stuff they didn't like. I'm sure Halo 4 will change stuff they don't like. But it still has a very consistent and large user base to this day.
Yeah, and I think they're doing interesting stuff with this co-op campaign.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. The Spartan Ops.
Spartan Ops, yeah, which has content trickling out every, what was it, every month?
Every week.
Every week, yeah. Right.
Episodes of a co-op campaign for a full season, and then presumably they'll sell further seasons as DLC. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a wonderful idea. People, we talk about episodic gaming a lot, obviously, and, you know, this is, like, a good approach to do it, where they're basically going to finish the whole season. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of polishing from week to week or something, but for all intents and purposes, it'll be done, and it'll kind of drip out every week, and I think that'll be an interesting experiment at the very least, potentially really cool.
And I think it's also pretty clever. It's from a business perspective. They're getting people to not sell the game who maybe dislike competitive multiplayer, but still like co-op multiplayer. So these people still have an incentive to keep the game. It's pretty clever, actually.
Yeah, and I think Halo has always been interested in, like I said, Reach was kind of curious because they have a huge community focus, so they would add gameplay types and maps that the community made all the time, so you never really knew what you were getting, which I always kind of found funny because then they'd go ahead and charge you for map packs anyhow, and I'm always like, but you're giving me like 10 free maps anyhow? Like, sure, they all kind of look the same after a while because you have that one aesthetic since you have to use Forge World. Yeah. But they're free maps, they're new, they've added new modes over time, they made Griffaw's own standalone players, they've added like big team heavies, which is awesome.
Forge seems to be even more improved this time around, so... And one thing, I mean, Call of Duty now also has these player-made game modes, but I think the Halo community is just more accepting of more weird game modes compared to the Call of Duty crowd. So you if you want to play something like zombies or weird oddball combinations, you'll probably find people to play stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it also helps that Halo has always kind of fostered that type of community, where like, Zombies was a mode created by players in Halo 2 that they've kind of brought over to 3, and it's evolved since then. Sometimes I do think when you bring it over, it's less fun than when it was originally created, but that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'll pick up Halo 4 begrudgingly. I enjoy the series, but oh, you buy it because one of my best friends, it's the only game I can never get him to play with me. So we've done like Halo 2, 3, ODST, and Reach co-op campaigns, and Horde mode, what is it called in Halo? Firefight. And stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll do that again this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say Halo's also kind of becoming one of those long in the teeth series that I don't feel like I get as like excited for necessarily, or like hyped up, I should say, is a better term probably. But I mean, with the new studio taking over, you know, first non-Bungie Halo game, like with all the things that could go wrong, I feel like every time they show it, I'm just impressed. So I'm really interested to see the final product.
Yeah, that's really the reason I am excited, because of the new studio and what we have seen so far looks cool. If it would have been another Bungie Halo, I probably would not have been as excited for it, because I think it went kind of stale with Reach.
Yeah, I think it's good for both Halo and Bungie. You know, Bungie gets to move on and do something different. And the Halo series gets a breath of fresh air, people that are, you know, really excited working on it for the first time, and some veterans to, you know, keep the ship steady. So, I don't know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
Okay. And then we have Hitman Absolution, which was another big game last week for our listeners who said that was one of their most anticipated titles of this year.
It actually probably is for me also, again, one I'm looking forward to. But only...
that, was
That was a complicated sentence, I know.
Yeah, it's
Martin's looking forward to all the games.
Well, it's not, it's the way he said it. It's like, I'm kind of almost certainly sure I might be looking forward to this.
Yeah, it is. You know, they have shown these weird trailers with these SM nuns trying to kill 47, and I was like, oh god, so stupid and doesn't fit Hitman. But then there were gameplay demos when they have shown off that the core Hitman experience is still there, with having dozens of possibilities of how to take out your target and being the silent assassin and killing your target, and nobody even knows you were even there. And as long as this is still there, I'm on board, because I don't think any other game does that.
Well, it is an interesting year for stealth, as we also have Dishonored, and you just finished playing Marked and Ninja today. Yeah. So it's interesting. What about you, Jason? Are you looking forward to this?
No, not particularly. I've never been a
Hitman fan.
Yeah, I've only played any of the series, like, here and there. I don't know.
I want to say it's the second one. I don't remember the subtitles that well of them. But yeah, it seemed like this, and maybe I was just playing it wrong, or maybe it was just one of those early missions. It just seemed like too strict on how you had to approach a mission style.
Yeah, it always seemed a little clunky to me, and I mean, part of that is just the stealth genre. I'm not really a fan that, I mean, my favorite stealth genre, quote unquote, game is Splinter Cell Conviction, which is obviously much more of an action game than a stealth game, so.
And I'm holding back a groan.
I know you are. We had this discussion with Blacklist, which looks awesome. But, I don't know. Not really my cup of tea.
Okay. And interestingly enough, the rest of November looks very, very, I want to say, family-friendly. Let's go with that term. Because almost everything else seems like it's going to be an E or T-rated game.
Is that because of a family-friendly console coming out in November?
Well, no, not based on this list. It's mostly because of Sony.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, I think because most of their bigger games are next year, Beyond Two Souls, The Last of Us, God of War, Ascension are all early next year. But this holiday season, they have a lot more focus on the family.
except for PlayStation All-Stars.
Which is the focus on family.
The PlayStation family, but not.
Well, I think it's family friendly in the fact that it's aesthetically kind of more, it's a bit more general. It's a bit more targeted towards everybody instead of their core audience. And it's not like you have Kratos cursing and ripping people in half.
Well, yes to the second part, but I disagree with the first part. I think, you know, even the way they bring it out at trade shows and, you know, fighting tournaments and stuff, I think they're very much aiming at the core.
They can aim at what they want to aim at, but it looks like a
right,
game.
I don't know. It seems to me from the way they've been rolling it out, they're much more focused on getting the core gamer to play this game.
They're more interested in getting the fighting game community to play, which is fine, but from how it looks and how it plays, it looks like a game that's more targeted towards everybody than it is towards the fighting game community. Like, I know there's a combo system and all this other fun jazz, but most of it it seems like you can just as easily get away with button mashing.
And I want to back up Earl here. Even these executives themselves say that PlayStation All-Stars is part of their more family-friendly holiday lineup.
I guess. I mean, it's more family-friendly than a God of War or a Last of Us, but I don't know. I guess I haven't really gotten that impression.
And I'm not saying it's a. I'm just saying it looks like it can cater that way. I guess we're talking about PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which I think was a bad move to delay into November. Especially being that it's at the end of November. I think it's coming out the 20th, so it's that Tuesday before Black Friday and Thanksgiving. I feel like it's going to be behind not only the big games like Halo and Call of Duty, but they're also going behind some of the other family-friendly games with recognizable mascots as well. And I mean, yes, there's another system launching, but this is, I'm actually more talking about Sonic and All-Stars Transformed. I think Sonic, as much as his career should be in the tanks by now, is still a very viable brand in gaming.
And I actually think this game, this new Sonic racing game, looks fun.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. I think it looks much better than Mario Kart 7 does.
Yeah.
They're using the idea of ASC and much more wisely and clever than Mario Kart does with the whole submarine and the hand glider thingy, and I hope they get rewarded for that. It looks like a fun game. It looks like it's going to be a blast. Hopefully it does better than the first one. We shall see.
The first one wasn't a bad game, though.
No, it wasn't, but it didn't sell that great.
Yeah. Of course. I just want to make clear, the first one wasn't a bad game, and this one looks even better, has some great new characters in it, and I'm actually looking forward to trying it out. I might even buy it.
Yeah, and it helps that, as of right now, it's a launch title, or around the launch title for the Wii U, and that means that they have an audience that's kind of receptive to that type of game, and Nintendo hasn't done a Mario Kart yet, so they can build on that. So, yeah. Anything to say about Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transform? I think that's the full title. Jason.
What's that?
Anything to say on that?
No, I mean, you guys pretty much voiced everything. Like, it looks more interesting than it should, I guess.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
On the flip side, we are apparently double downing on the mascot race of this holiday season.
Mario Kart, so...
Well, there is a Mario Kart, and I'm sure Mario Kart 7 will be on the top of the list anyhow, but... we'll get Little Big Panic Karting as well.
Which also didn't look bad from what I've seen so far.
I wasn't too huge on it from the beta, but... it's not awful. I mean, it's not, it has some interesting ideas for it. I like the idea of, like, boss battles. They have, like, mission modes and stuff like that, which I think is cool. I just find it's very difficult to do that stuff well in a racing game. So we shall see. I didn't play the beta enough to get a full opinion on it. I just kind of played, like, a couple of matches and got kind of turned off. I wasn't really sure what it was about the game that didn't... I don't know what it is about Little Big Planet that doesn't rub me the right way. I know what it is about the core game. I don't like the platforming. But this didn't really excite me either.
Well, I'm kind of with you. I'm not the biggest Little Big Planet fan, but what I've at least have seen of some of the user-created levels or racetracks, I guess you would have to say, they look pretty cool and seem like they have some good options for them. So, content-wise, this should be pretty cool. I've not actually played it, so I can't comment on how well it plays. So.
Okay. And on the bright side, from when I played the demo, it looks like the loading time is much improved from Mod Nation Races, so there's that.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah. Sony also has Wonder Book coming out this fall. I think it was announced on November 13th this past week. I feel like you're excited for this.
Oh, am I? I didn't know.
Yeah, Martin can't wait to use his move with the Wonder Book.
The Wonder Book. On the bright side, if you don't already own a move, I think they're having a bundle for $80 where you get this game, you get the Move Wand, the PlayStation Eye, and I guess the Wonder Book technology or whatever that is. So, I mean, if you are in the market for Move and all those curious games, there's that. I'm not excited for Wonder Book itself. I am excited for Dirk's Night, whatever, the film noir game they showed off at Gamescom. But I don't know if that's coming out with launch or if that's a next year title or what. So,
you don't know.
Yeah, there's that. Ooh. We also have Epic Mickey 2 with the power of, what is it, the power of love?
The power of two, right?
The power of two, okay. Either way, it sounds cheesy, but,
Yeah.
So, I mean, I am looking forward to the 3DS version. That looks cool.
Didn't that get pushed to next year? Power of Illusion?
No.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Castlevania
game.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Earl. I think I'm actually more interested in the 3DS title than the quote-unquote real title.
I got burnt with the first one because I was really looking forward to that. And yes, they're saying the right things. They're saying they focus on the camera and they're fixing that. But I just can't make myself look forward to it again. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Definitely one of those titles I would wait for comprehensive impressions.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting because, again, it comes out during that busy time. So, and Epic, it doesn't seem like the type of game people would spend time covering. So, yes, there's that. Well, we have an Epic Mickey fan, I believe. Anthony has joined us.
You might be mistaking me with someone else.
Not an Epic Mickey fan?
I mean, not particularly. I mean, I bought it in the launch window, but I wasn't all that impressed. It didn't get me very far into the game before I gave up on it. There's a lot of other things that came out around the same time, and it didn't hold my attention.
Fair enough. Okay. So, yes, that's Epic. We really sound down on this fall lineup so far.
Well, let's be honest. For me, it will probably be my November will be I buy Halo 4, and then I will play Halo 4 until next year. So,
I think the problem is that we should probably just do a third part of this and call it Fall Part 3 and just focus on January to March of next year, because that's when everything's coming out.
Yeah, kind of.
That's a more exciting time.
And it's one of the few times where you're kind of thinking backwards, like, why isn't everything coming out in the holiday this year? But yeah. We also have Adventure Time, which I always bring up because it actually looks interesting. It's on the 3DS and DS, and I don't even remember who's developing it, but it looks like an interesting game, which isn't something you often get from licensed titles.
I have no opinion because I don't even know if this show is running over here in Germany. And
I don't watch the show either. It's just really, really wacky. And it's out there even for me.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Adventure Time or Freaky Forms.
Well, Freaky Forms I just put on here because it's one of those cases of just Nintendo kind of overreaching. Because they're basically taking a eShop title, adding like 5 minutes of content, and making it a retail release now.
Wait, they're making what? Freaky Forms a retail release?
Yeah.
Huh.
I forget the official titles, but it's Freaky, it's basically like Freaky Forms 3DS with more RPG elements now.
Interesting.
It came out in Europe over the summer, from what I read of it. Wasn't anything special. A lot of people just complained that it wasn't enough content for them to justify charging $40.
Huh. It is out here over here in Europe.
I've never really been one for creating your own things. And it's a shame because I know there's potential for that in games. Like, I miss out on creating stuff in Boom Blocks or things like that. But that's why Freaky Forms didn't appeal to me. I didn't feel like, creating odd-shaped characters and going through, from what I understood, to be generic levels.
And that's usually the problem, and this is kind of the same thing that happens with Scribblenauts sometimes. It's because they focus so much on you can do anything, it means that the levels have to be kind of normal enough so that anything makes sense, so they don't really get that far out there. Like, I never remember... I've only played the original Scribblenauts, but I remember the original one. It's just like, everybody would just draw a bucket to get the star after a while. yield the same result.
They would draw what?
A bucket. Like, you just use the bucket, you scoop up the star, and you dump it in front of your character.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's, like I said, Freaky Form just seems like it's one of those things where Nintendo really, this should be a sequel to the eShop title on eShop and nothing more.
Did you ever play WarioWare DIY?
No, I haven't. Same reason, I don't like creating stuff, I don't have the patience for it.
Those are my thoughts too.
So, yeah. And finally, and as of right now, on paper, my most anticipated game of the year, shocker, Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Hey, I'm right.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go real quick. Paper Mario, when the 3DS was announced, was perhaps my number one most anticipated title. Because I guess in my head I got Super Paper Mario plus 3D equals mind blown. Instead, we get this stupid Little Big Planet knockoff about collecting stickers that just looks like it's for 8-year-olds. I'm sorry, I'm so disappointed with what Paper Mario 3DS turned out to be.
What it seems, I'm still seeing
just the 3D presentation, and that was enough to turn me off completely. Like that.
Well,
let's
be honest, the 3D presentation of anything. At Nintendo,
I'm sure it'll get like an 8.5 Metacritic. I don't care. I hate the concept. Absolutely hate it. Super Paper Mario 3DS. That's what I want.
I don't want a Super Paper Mario anything. I would have preferred. I'm a huge fan of the partners from their first two Paper Mario games, and I would have liked to see them make a return.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's an interesting thing to.
Or yeah, even a classic Paper Mario stickers. Why stickers? I hate that.
God forbid.
Sorry,
they something.
That's my rant.
Yeah, I am all for them trying something different. It's going to be interesting to see how they work it out, because as far as I know right now, and this is the biggest concern, is that the RPG, the battle system, doesn't really factor into the game because you don't get experience. So I'm kind of curious to see how they work it so that you do actually want to do the battles.
You get stickers from your battles.
Yeah, but if you're not, doing the battles, why do you need the stickers? Like, I'm sure the ones that you need, they'll find a way for you to get. But it doesn't seem like it's focused on that, so. Again, like I said, we'll see. Maybe they are smarter than I am and they figure something out and it's going to work spectacularly and give me a reason to engage in these battles all the time, but it's my biggest concern right now.
I'm actually going through Super Paper Mario again to give it another shot. I didn't like it all too much when it first came out. I didn't like how it was. I mean, you can't make it not. It was linear. You know, it was completely linear, and then all of the supporting characters were literally geometric shapes, which took some of the charm out of it.
Well, I mean, it was also on the N64 and in its dying day, so.
we're talking about Super Paper Mario.
Oh, I didn't like Super Paper Mario just because it's weird when they switch the focus over to platform, and I expected just talking, instead you get more talking, and then that just goes up. And the whole idea of switching characters just got cumbersome after a while.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what they brought to the table with, they had that many, each of them could do separate things for puzzles and whatnot, but. I'm going there again because, I mean, it came out in 2008. It was 4 years ago. And so I gave it a shot back then. I figured maybe my taste has changed in 4 years. And it's not bad so far.
Fair enough. And that's kind of our November, which is kind of sad.
Well.
Do you have games to add? I mean,
I have an entire platform to add.
Well, that's what we're going to get to in a second. We're going to cover December because this is going to take us a while. With all of two games coming out. We have Far Cry 3.
Which is actually coming out in November over here.
Oh, so.
There you go.
It's December for us. It's just one of those weird things. I don't even know what to say about Far Cry. It's co-op, which is kind of cool.
I really enjoyed the latest demo they have shown. Which actually showed that the game really is open world. And not just a guided demo as it was. during the previous two E3s. So I'm kind of back on board with the game.
I think it's hard to show open worldness in an E3 demo when you have like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was like a 10 or 15 minute demo, if I'm not mistaken, and it looked actually pretty cool.
Okay.
I especially like the moment where you could shoot or open up cages and let like the animals and attack your enemies, which was kind of funny.
You're a very, very morbid guy.
What? It is funny.
It's funny watching a guy get mauled by tigers.
The game it is.
Uh-huh.
Roller Coaster Tycoon it probably would be, to be honest.
We have some very morbid people here. And the other game we have out this December is Brain Age Concentration Training. Don't all applaud at once.
Is that for 3DS?
Yeah.
That will probably be, if I get it, that'll probably be my first retail title that I'll download straight to 3DS.
I think Brain Training is the type of game that makes more sense as a downloadable title.
This point, it definitely does.
I'm sure
it will use the 3D effect to its full extent.
I'm sure it'll be a great, great
so
show.
So it doesn't self-check complete.
But it's already... I actually prefer the Japanese name, but I guess Ani Trainer doesn't really translate to English that well. So, yeah, that is December. December's usually a pretty quiet month in general. I usually get like one or two big titles, and I guess this year Far Cry is going to be, well, okay, we might as well transition to this because it is going to fill in a lot of the gaps. The Wii U is out this year, as much as Nintendo doesn't want you to know that. And we will get more details, hopefully, on the launch this week, and we'll cover that next week. But Wii U, predictions, thoughts, and all that fun jazz. Well, let's start off with the easy one. When do you think the system's out?
November.
Easily November.
On a Sunday.
Didn't we already know November 18th?
I've called November 18th since E3 2011. I wrote up an article on this, and if you go back throughout the last decade, every major Nintendo title for the year has come out on that weekend. Or
Sunday,
you know,
before Thanksgiving?
Yeah. That's when the GameCube launched, that's when the Wii launched, that's when, you know, they had Metroid Prime out, they had Galaxy out, they had New Super Mario Bros. Wii out, they had Skyward Sword out. So it is their date. It is their time. So I pegged that since day one, and I'm expecting November 18th. It makes sense from their business standpoint, since they're a social gaming company, that you put it out right before the holidays. So that's the new thing. People come over your house for Thanksgiving dinner. You put it out, and you kind of get them excited for it, and hopefully they go pick it up the next day after that Friday sales.
Hmm.
I mean, I assume that's their strategy anyhow, because it can also backfire, because if you come out that Sunday and you don't have time to restock, because there's only 3 days to restock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And the retailers are gearing up their supply chains for Black Friday sales and stuff.
Yeah, so you can kind of shoot yourself in the foot with that as well, especially being that they're launching at such a... interesting time in the industry where I expect we're going to see a lot of deals this year that brings the Xbox 360 and the PS3 down to about $100-$150 a piece. Like, not straight
Black
up.
Friday?
Yeah. Like, you'll probably see somebody, like, you'll get a $50 gift card, or you'll get a $100 gift card, or you'll get, like, 15 free games and stuff like that. So, and I assume the Wii U won't have that because it's too new. But we shall see. Okay, so we have a launch date, roughly, a Sunday in November. Some of us are going with the 18th. The latest rumor has the 11th, which is also a possibility, and would get them out in front of Call of Duty, I believe. The other thing is, like, what do you expect to be included with the system?
Nintendo Land.
Nothing.
Nintendo Land comes with it. I mean, I've heard iffy things about it, but that just seems like the smart pack-in title.
Yeah, you know, I don't see any way that they don't do that. They don't bundle Nintendo Land. I think it would be a terrible mistake to not bundle Nintendo Land.
I don't see Nintendo Land being bundled in. I was always iffy on it being bundled after E3, but after finding out about Metroid Fest and stuff yesterday, I find it even more hard to believe that they'll put that much effort and then kind of give it away for free.
Well, the thing is that you saw how well that paid off with Wii Sports.
It paid off well for Wii Sports, but if anything, I expect them to go more along the lines of what they're doing with the 3DS, where they have built-in software that isn't necessarily a major component, but it's something that kind of it kind of caters to every different function of the system.
But A, wouldn't we have seen that software by now? And B, isn't that exactly what Nintendo Land is?
Well, no, Nintendo Land I think is Nintendo Land to me is a much more robust package than anything they've done on the 3DS. Like the 3DS has like Find Me and Puzzle Quest and AR Shooter, which aren't really like they'll be like a mini game if anything on a normal game. Nintendo Land, dependent on the content, and if the rest of the games are as fully featured as Metroid 1 is, with multiple stages, different modes, different configurations and stuff like that. I mean Metroid Blast so far seems like the multiplayer component for most online games, where you have Deathmatch, you have co-op, you have Horde, you have various stuff like that. And that's just one of the 12. So if Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing also has multiple stages and multiple play styles, it seems like they're just giving away too much. If they do bundle something in, and this isn't really a game, I really, really expect it to be at least Panorama View, because I don't know how they plan on selling that. And I think it would work if they kind of got it to... if they kind of partnered up with various organizations so that they can keep on adding different locations around the world to this, so that people had a reason to go back to it and a reason to use the eShop.
Yeah.
And I can also possibly see them bundling in some type of eShop voucher or an eShop launch title.
Do you think they'll bundle in Wiimotes?
That's another question, and the way they've been talking about it, it doesn't sound like they want to.
Right, I agree.
The way they always describe it is like there's already 100 million Wiimotes in the wild, so, you know, people already have these in their homes.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that I don't know if you've seen the new Game Informer stuff, but some of the games, even in Nintendo Land, use Wii Motion Plus. Wii Motion Plus has a much more install base than the Wiimotes does. So
yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised either way if they bundle in one or they don't have any, because I think you could make an argument either way. I mean, like you said, a lot of games use it, even Nintendo Land, but on the other hand, there are a lot that exist in the wild, and, you know, I don't know any other console that's shipped with two controllers, so...
Recently, anyhow, but yeah, and that's the thing. But the other point is, and this is, it's the fact that so much of their software focuses on it, that it's going to, you know, like, do you give people the complete package? Because of the, Nintendo is publishing 9 games within the launch window. Of those 9, I believe something like 4 or 5 of them use the Wiimote in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to, I mean, and even some of the multiplayer games. But the other thing is they also have their classic controller pro or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't expect them to bundle that in.
No, they won't bundle that at all. They didn't bundle classic controller at any point during this generation. I could possibly see that even missing launch if they have to focus on getting enough stock, or it's going to be in low quantities.
I would think it would be there at launch. But.
Yeah, so do I, but I also don't think they will bundle in anything besides the gamepad. Nintendo has already shown how much of cheapskates they can be with not even giving us Europeans a fucking charger with our 3DS XL. So I don't think they will throw in anything Wiimote related. And I also think Nintendo, even if you don't have a Wii, I mean, as soon as the Wii U is out, I'm pretty sure you can get those things for pretty cheap. So I don't think Nintendo is really worrying about that.
Yeah, I don't see them. I do expect them to do a decent amount of work as far as hardware goes. Just because it's easier. You get more money off of accessories than anything. I'm sure there's a huge markup on all three of their accessories. Okay, so aside from that, what do you expect the launch price to be?
$299 US.
I would hope $299. I would expect $350.
I don't see them crossing the 300 barrier. I think there's just this mental gap.
Yeah, and they are competing with consoles that are $199, so...
Yeah.
I would hope for $249, you know, match the Wii price, but I think we'll get $299 with Nintendo Land bundled.
If they bundle Nintendo Land, I see $300. If they don't, I see $250. And I think, you know, $250 for a console, I think, is a fair price. $300 with a game just seems to work out better.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you have the new hardware. I mean, despite the fact that it's still a little bit dated, you have new hardware, but you also have that gamepad, which I think is going to drive up the price than for, say, what the Wii was when it came out in 2006.
See, I agree that the gamepad's going to jack the price a bit, but I think this is why it's kind of a technologically modest bump from this generation.
Yeah, I mean, if we're considering that this is a console competing on a technology scale with consoles that are 6-7 years old, I mean, I don't think most of the components are going to be that expensive.
Yeah.
Well, the 3DS's launch, they're still trying to sell it for a profit, and
right, but they were dealing with that screen that was, you know, that's a technological advancement, whereas they're using outdated touch technology, they're using outdated CPU technology. I read a story on Eurogamer this week that the graphics chip is actually pretty good in the Wii U, but they also said there's only about a gig of RAM. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be more expensive to produce than the Wii, but I don't see them going over 300 either.
Yeah, I if they do, I don't see it doing that well this holiday season. I think even 300 might be pushing it. Again, if it comes with a game, I think it's an easier sell because it's the same way that technically, you know, people say the Wii was 250 with Wii Sports free, but Japan got the Wii for like $200 and didn't have Wii Sports. So you're being charged that extra $50, but it felt like a value because you were getting the game with it for free.
Yeah.
So I see them doing, if they do Nintendo and bundle, that's what they're aiming for, $300. I really think they're going to try for $250 because of the way the 3DS took off, or didn't take off, I should say.
And I'm just going to say that I really think they have to go for $250. I mean,
but that's why, I think that's part of where Nintendo Land comes into, because bundling a game, I mean, we saw this with the original Wii, where most of the estimates, I don't know if you guys remember, but we're pegging it at $199. And when it launched at $250, that was almost like you were still paying for Wii Sports in a way, because you're basically, you know, $50 game with a $200 console.
Yeah,
but they kind of mask that price by just saying that's the console price.
Yeah, but I have said that it's coming with nothing, so that's why they have to go for $250. Otherwise, even with the Nintendo bonus, let's call it, I don't think they can do that well compared to the other consoles. I mean, what's the general public going to think when we see Assassin's Creed 3 running on a new shiny $300 console, and that looks maybe marginally better than on the 360 that by then maybe is, I don't know, on Black Friday there for $150.
Well, yeah. I don't think the average consumer cares. the average consumer probably...
The average consumer will see that one is 300 and the other is 150.
The average consumer will see that one is 300 and one is on a box already in their living room.
Yeah, and that's... I agree with that.
That
I agree with. I don't see that an average consumer going to a store and saying, like, oh, Assassin's Creed doesn't look that great on the Wii U, so I'm going to buy the 360 version. I don't see the average consumer buying a Wii U for Assassin's Creed. Or
Which
Master
begs
3
the question,
or Batman.
What is an average consumer going to buy the Wii U for?
Well, that's the next point, is what software do you launch with? Obviously, Nintendo ends their day one. And that will do... If it's a bundled game, it will do remarkably well. If it isn't a bundled game, it will still do remarkably well, I think. From what I've played of it, it's a really great multiplayer experience. And I think it's the type of games that Nintendo thrives on. The social games, the ones that kind of engulf the living room, the ones that kind of gets everybody involved. So I see it doing, I mean, if it's not bundled, I see it doing like Mario Party type numbers where it's like 10, you know, mid-teen million sold. If it's bundled, I see Nintendo having a good holiday season with it. New Super Mario Bros. U,
I forgot about that.
That I expect good things from.
It should be launched, right?
I thought it was a launch window.
I think Mario will be launched. I think they've just been, the only game they have officially declared at being a launch title with Nintendo, and but the way I see it is that they're going to do about 3 games at launch, and right now everybody seems to be pegging Nintendo and New Super Mario Bros. U and Ninja Gaiden 3 as their big, their 3 launch titles.
Ninja Gaiden 3?
Yeah, don't ask.
That shouldn't count. That goes in the pile of ports that they have.
Well, they're publishing it, and it's I don't know why either. Don't ask. Their relationship with Tecmo, I don't get, but they are publishing that, so it's coming with a bunch of changes and stuff. So we shall see. I doubt it does anything because it's been 9 months of people saying this game sucks. And then I can possibly see Pikmin 3 in December.
Yeah, I think Pikmin 3 will also be kind of trailing launch a little bit. I think the original Pikmin also came out in December, if I'm not mistaken. So
it came out after launch as well. And it works. You get the launch. You do about 10 or 15 games, and then you have like a big-ish. Pikmin isn't a huge brand game in December that people want to pick up when they're getting bored with that. And you can still have third-party sprinkles their titles out during then. And then next year we'll get Wii Fit, Lego City Undercover, Project P100, and Wii Fit. I assume between January and April.
Yeah, I don't know what to think, really, because I think the Wii U will sell solidly because people are so starved for new hardware, and there are some compelling experiences on it, but I don't think it's going to outsell the 360 this holiday season. I really don't.
I don't. I mean, it's always hard to gauge that with a launch system because the Wii didn't outsell the 360 during its initial launch either. And we know how that turned out. It's just a problem, you know, you're launching, you have shipment allotments, you're doing worldwide and stuff like that. So yeah, I see it being outsold by the 360 and the PS3 because those are established systems. But launch, usually you're going to sell out what you have. The test isn't this holiday season. Well, if it does batchy, then that's a huge, huge mistake. But I think the test will really be the next 6 months into the new year. And I think what they've learned, at least I hope what they've learned from the 3DS, is they need a consistent feel with software.
Well, they've been saying that. The problem is they've been saying that since the GameCube days, that they've learned that lesson. And proved to be true.
They did a decent job with the Wii post-launch because they had, you know, they had like 3 launch games. They had Zelda, they had Excite Truck, and they had Wii Sports. December, you got, I forget what you got in December. Then you got, in the new year, you got Wii Play, you got WarioWare, you got Super Paper Mario, you got Mario Strikers, you got Battalion Wars. So, like, one Nintendo franchise per month, and then whatever third parties were offering, is a decent start. The problem is, and this is going to be their big problem, and it's always going to be their big problem, is they don't really seem to have that many third parties on board right now.
Yeah, well, they have... enough, I think.
They have enough for launch, but I'm talking about, like, as we joked about it earlier, that almost all the big titles are coming out between January and March of next year. And of those titles, I think only one of them is announced for the Wii U, and that's not even coming out during that period for the Wii U, and that's Aliens. There's no BioShock, there's no Tomb Raider, there's no
Splinter Cell.
No Splinter Cell.
No Crisis.
So you have all these major third-party titles, and none of them are announced for the system yet.
And some of them will probably never make it to the system.
No, and again, that's not a huge concern at launch, but it is going forward. And I think one of the things that people took away from E3, and I completely agree with them, is that Nintendo did a disservice by just focusing on this holiday season, because if, like, you know, like you said, it doesn't really have a game that you want to get right away. And there's right now, there's no promise of a brighter future. There's no promise of, like, oh, that game looks amazing, so I can jump in when this game comes out and I'll pick up these games I wanted to try at launch. They don't have that right now, and that's going to be the big hurdle with, I think, the internet gaming crowd.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we mentioned their titles, but Ubisoft is actually coming out strong at launch as well. I expect good things from Rayman Legends, and I expect good things from Zombie U.
Why?
I mean, yeah. To be honest, I agree with Earl. I think Zombie U in the press has gotten the strongest buzz of any Wii U title.
It's also been the only game. It's been the only game that's had press on the Wii U.
Well, I think even compared to Nintendo Land and Super Mario Brothers U.
But that's what I meant. It's like Nintendo hasn't shown anything of those titles since they've shown those titles up until yesterday when Game Informer had the reveal. But yeah, it's one of those things where Nintendo's vow of silence has been kind of working against them. I mean, it's helping Ubisoft out greatly. Ubisoft is kind of the king of the launch at this point in a lot of people's eyes because, I mean, Rayman was kind of the one thing we had in that desert of a year between E3 2011 and this year. And then since E3, we've had a lot more footage of Rayman and Zombie U and stuff like that. But what were you going to say, Martin?
No, I'm just asking because people also often get burnt by Ubisoft titles at launch. I mean, you remember Red Steel, right?
Red Steel.
Yes, I feel like most Nintendo fans haven't forgotten Red Steel.
And that got press. It's not like that.
Yeah, it looks really promising before launch, actually.
But that got negative press. That got a lot more negative press. I think there was just a movement with the Nintendo fans because they wanted the game to be good. But I remember even at E3, the game didn't look that promising. A lot of people were just kind of dancing around like it's early tech. You know, they probably haven't.
Well, I think people were catching on to the concept that it was, you know, swords and guns, which the Wii remote seemed to be made perfectly.
The concept was great because they executed it well in the sequel. The problem is the sequel took like 4 years and already had a tainted brand attached to it. From what I've seen in Fate of Zombie U, it's going to be interesting to see how it does because I think it might be just too hardcore for your average gamer because it's kind of like a rogues game where, like, one life, so if you die, you die.
I think it sounds interesting, and I hope it turns out good. I'm just saying.
But there are marked differences between Zombie U and Red Steel. For instance, Red Steel had a development time of less than a year, where we knew that Zombie U had been in production since at least 2011 because it was showing.
That's true.
I
hope it works out and it is an actually good title.
We shall see, because the rest of Ubisoft on sign-up is... There's no real way to sugarcoat this crap. Every time I see the Avengers box, I just want to cry. And, Sports Connection, and... There's a game, I think, some really cheesy game collection and stuff like that. So, yes, we'll see a bunch of stuff, crappy stuff like that. We'll have Make to the Party ports, which I don't really think will do anything, but Mass Effect 3, Batman Arkham City Armored Edition, because that needed more stuff on the box.
That Batman game will probably make launch, right?
Huh? Yeah, I think Batman's at launch, I think Mass Effect 3. on Dark
no,
Side.
No, Mass Effect, I think, didn't they say December?
No, they said
launch. No, I think, yeah, I think these are all launch games.
Right,
I think Darksiders 2 is also a launch.
Yeah, Madden's launch, FIFA's launch.
Yeah.
So it's a great launch if you don't have a 360 or PS3.
I think they will move some of these, just, you know, people who get a new console will be like, you know, well, why don't I just get another, like, get this for the new console that I already bought? But I don't think, you know, it'll push more hardware sales.
No, I think you don't need to push, you don't need that to, because, I mean, like I said, at launch, one, launch is going to sell because it's launch, and that's traditionally how it works. But you also have Mario as your flagship, whatever people say about 2D Marios nowadays or what. It's still a flagship brand. You have Wii Fit coming out at some point, and I assume that might appeal to the people who bought Wii Fit on the Wii. I think
Rayman,
I don't see pushing things. I see it doing better on the Wii U because it's a launch and because it's a one-system game right now.
What about Scribblenauts Unlimited? Is that
Scribblenauts, I think, will do decently, but I think more people would probably buy it on the 3DS. Honestly, the game I think that has the most potential, or the most underrated potential right now, is Lego City Undercover, because those Lego games do remarkably well.
It's at launch?
That's not at launch.
Okay. I thought we were still talking launch titles.
Well, I'm talking about games that can kind of move hardware. I mean, we don't officially know what Nintendo's putting out at launch. I don't see Echo City Undercover being a launch title.
No, me neither. This is why I was wondering.
No. I see it being something that they do early next year because, like I said, the Echo games do remarkably well for themselves.
That's true.
Don't
they do better on the Nintendo platforms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do better on the Nintendo platforms, and I think the idea, especially being that as of right now we don't have a GTA game for next year yet, we don't know when 5's coming out, and there's no Saints Row until the holiday season, it kind of fills that open world niche.
True.
So I could see that doing well. Everything else is just kind of, I think it's going to be the sums of their parts, and they're hoping that they have enough titles to appeal to a wider audience, but I think we're going to see a situation with the Wii where a lot of these launch titles is going to turn people off to tablet controls. Some of the stuff they're doing with some of the games look interesting, but it also seems like a giant gimmick in a lot of other ones.
Batman.
That was the one I was going to point out. But yeah, Batman doesn't seem to be doing anything interesting with it, and I think people are just... I've seen a lot of hands-on preview where they're just, like, using the controller to control your Batarang just makes it more cumbersome, and if you get that type of stuff at launch, it's just going to be like, you know what, this is going to be the Wii again, where it's like a lot of these games are adding these stuff that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, stuff like Mass Effect, it seems it's a minor thing, but it seems to be a nice touch where you have all your access to all your powers with the touch screen. And they're doing it smart where the touch screen stuff is at the outer edge, so you don't have to look down on the controller to know what power you're picking.
The thing about Mass Effect, though, is, I mean...
It's a trilogy.
First of all, but it will be interesting to see how good the port will be, because it's one of those cases, again, I think the studio is like a small, unknown iOS developer who's porting the game.
Yes, this is their, I think this is like their first console title they reformed last year.
So, yeah, I hope it works out for those people interested in getting the Wii U version.
They better work out because they're porting another game and they're doing an exclusive. I don't know if they're doing an exclusive, but they're doing a new title for the system as well they announced. So, like, you don't want a crappy developer doing three titles for you right away.
Yeah. At least it means that the tablet stuff will work great.
And the other thing we can kind of expect. I don't know if we get this week. I don't know if we get. But there's been really no Japanese support announced yet.
That's true, but TGS is right around the corner.
Yeah. Because right now the only thing we have is Tank and Tekken Tag Tournament.
Yeah, but like, what is that? TGS is around the corner, and usually third parties announce some Nintendo stuff there, so I could see some announcements. Maybe not
Megatons.
Huge amount, but I can definitely see there's some titles.
Yeah.
I wonder if we will see the Wii U version of Dragon Quest X.
That's already been announced to be at TGS.
Oh, it has been. Okay, then I've missed that. Okay.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see. I'm kind of curious to see if that hits launch, and if that
in
makes
Japan, it you mean? I doubt it will hit Western launch.
No, I don't. Then that's the other thing that we should mention is that Nintendo really has to come out swinging as far as their online goes this week. I think it's their biggest gray area because nobody has confidence they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. They haven't given anybody a reason to believe they can.
True.
So that's going to be their biggest focus this year. And the thing is, as of right now, I don't think any of their titles have online capabilities.
Nintendo's titles?
Yeah.
New Super Mario Brothers U.
It could be that they haven't announced any, but, I mean, Pikmin has co-op, no online. Nintendo, yeah, as far as I know, doesn't have online.
It seems like they're going to try to push that, like, I forget what they named it, their social thing. Yeah, Miiverse, more than actual, you know, multiplayer.
Yeah, I think Miiverse is a good starting point, but why would I care about a social networking if I still can't do online gaming? Like, I can complain about a game on Twitter already. I don't need to do it on my system.
We're talking about Miiverse, or never mind, I'm mixing that up with Mario Brothers U's online, because, I mean, there's quote online in there where you'll be able to chase the other player's scores, and it shows them, like, in real time or whatever.
I think that's the Miiverse stuff, where...
Yeah.
I think they're going to incorporate the Miiverse stuff like that, where you'll have... Oh, you know, like, I just beat the sale in, like, 45 seconds. Can you top that or something?
So it will kind of be like Nintendo's Universal Autolog.
Yeah. Which, again, is actually not... I enjoy that if it's not going into my actual social networking sites. I hated that when people would tweet about, like, oh, I just completed 3Fs in Dreher. Why don't you try to top... I don't want to see that tweeted. No, or on your Facebook board, that's just annoying.
the basic feature is a great idea in the Need for Speed games, and the other games they implemented it in, so having this kind of be a universal thing seems like a good idea to me, but having real online games would be pretty good. I guess Ninja Gaiden 3 kind of counts as a Nintendo Online title because it's published by them.
That has online?
Ninja Gaiden 3 has online. Crappy online, but it does have online.
I hope that... I mean, at the bare minimum, they just need to start doing online leaderboards or some of these stuff. I played Nintendo Land, and several of those games do keep count of your high score and stuff like that. So being able to compare that with your friends would be a huge step towards actually playing the game more often. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff they need to answer for, and we will hopefully be back next week with details on that. And we can talk more about their launch lineup and stuff like that. But we are going to call it a day for this week. So, as always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, all that fun jazz. Things are usually included in the podcast now. For Martin, Anthony, Jason, and myself, this has been the second part of our preview show.
Have a good one.
I see you playing Angry Birds on your mobile phone, and I'm like, Wii U. I guess Animal Crossing wasn't casual enough, and I'm like, Wii U, and Wii Farmville too. I said the bluer waters were full of dollars, and it was true.
Yes, it was true.
But Apple went there too, and now the water's not blue, so Wii U. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't track your whole body, but I can tell how much you weigh. What's great about Xbox? It just emulates Atari. Well, we've got all the classic games. from back in the day. We made stuff you'd want to play.
We're just sound in Terranima. Please let us know what I
hey, they might show up someday. Go ahead and post that on your own blog. I see you playing Angry Birds on your mobile phone, and I'm like, Wii U. I guess Animal Crossing wasn't casual enough, and I'm like, Wii U. And we Farmville too, I said the blue waters were full of dollars. And it was true.
Yes, it was true.
But Apple went there too, and now the water's not blue, so Wii U. Now I know games are a no-show on the fitness apps and shovelware. But here's new Zelda and a new Mario. There, that should hold you for a year. And now there's a new way to repackage our old games.
The 50 make a park arena, this time with a touch screen.
Yay! And no easy way to pay. Why do we need your county anyway? I see you playing Angry Birds on your mobile phone, and I'm like, Wii U. I guess Animal Crossing wasn't casual enough, and I'm like, Wii U. And Wii Farmville too, I said the blue waters were full of dollars. And it was true.
Yes, it was true.
But Apple went there too, and now the water's not blue, so Wii U. Baby, 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 we don't really mean to hurt you so bad.
So bad, so bad, so bad.
We made Wii Fit for your mom and Big Brain Academy for your dad.
Your dad, your dad, your dad.
We're like, wait! Gamers! We love you! We still love you! I see you playing Angry Birds on your phone, and I'm like, Wii U. I guess Animal Crossing wasn't casual enough, and I'm like, Wii U. And Wii Farmville too, I said the blue waters were full of dollars. And it was true.
Yeah, it was true.
But Apple went there too, and now the water's not blue, so Wii U.